Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. It is a great joy to gather here on this Sunday morning.
Good morning, church family. This morning in Sunday school, we talked about Jesus getting followers to be the fishermen to follow him. Back then, people ate a lot of fish every day. And that brings me to the point that we are getting ready to eat more fish. Our fish dinners are starting in just a couple weeks, and the sign-up sheets are downstairs. If you would take a look at them this morning and start to think where you might be able to help, either through providing desserts or actually working. Last year, we served over 400 people every dinner for four dinners. It's a lot of work and a lot of working together. So we look forward to getting started, and thank you again for your support.
We welcome the members of the Geneseo United Methodist Church Choir to join us this morning, along with our own choir. Thank you for sharing your gifts with us and helping us to feel God's presence this morning. May we pray together. Glorious God, you graciously reveal the light of your wisdom to humankind. We stand in awe of you. Your Spirit is transforming us to become more like Jesus. Walk with us along our journey of life and lead us into your everlasting joy and peace. Amen. May we sing together.
Scripture reading this morning is from the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Early the next morning, Joshua and the Israelites packed up and left Acacia. They went to the Jordan River and camped there that night. 2 days later, their leaders went through the camp, shouting, "When you see some of the priests carrying the sacred chest, you'll know it is time to cross to the other side. You've never been there before, and you won't know the way unless you follow the chest. But don't get too close. Stay about half a mile back." Joshua told the people, "Make yourselves acceptable to worship the Lord, because he is going to do some amazing things for us." Then Joshua turned to the priest and said, "Take the chest and cross the Jordan River ahead of us." So the priest picked up the chest by its carrying poles and went on ahead. The Lord told Joshua, "Beginning today, I will show the people that you are their leader, and they will know that I am helping you as I helped Moses. Now tell the priests who are carrying the chest to go a little way into the river and stand there." Joshua spoke to the people, "Come here and listen to what the Lord our God said he will do. The Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites control the land on the other side of the river. But the living God will be with you and will force them out of the land when you attack. And now God is going to prove that he's powerful enough to force them out. Just watch the sacred chest that belongs to the Lord, the ruler of the whole earth. As soon as the priests carrying the chest step into the Jordan, the water will stop flowing and pile up as if someone had built a dam across the river. The Lord has also said that each of the 12 tribes should choose one man to represent it." The Israelites packed up and left camp. The priests carrying the chest walked in front until they came to the Jordan River. The water in the river had risen over its banks, as it often does in springtime. But as soon as the feet of the priest touched the water, the river stopped flowing, and the water started piling up at the town of Adam near Zarethan. No water flowed toward the Dead Sea, and the priest stood in the middle of the dry riverbed near Jericho while everyone else crossed over. And the second reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. "I have not yet reached my goal, and I am not perfect, but Christ has taken hold of me. So I keep on running and struggling to take hold of the prize. My friends, I don't feel that I have already arrived, but I forget what is behind and I struggle for what is ahead. I run toward the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize that God offers because of what Jesus Christ has done. All of us who are mature should think in this same way. And if any of you think differently, God will make it clear to you. But we must keep going in the direction that we are now headed. May God add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Shall we pray? Gracious and loving God, in the holiness and the beauty of this day, we give you thanks for sunshine that warms our hearts, even if it doesn't warm our bodies, for the hope of future spring. We give you thanks. We sense your presence here at church with our family and friends close by. And we trust that you go with us through the weeks and days ahead, that you do not just reside here in a building, but everywhere and in our hearts. Forgive us when our actions do not reflect the love that you give us. We hurt others. We hurt the earth. We hurt ourselves. We hurt you. Create in us a new heart, O God. Make us clean as the freshly fallen snow. For our world needs you. Draw near to those who mourn. Surround them with your peace and your presence. Bring peace, O God. Help us to find ways of working together, whether we are different in language, in history, in political affiliation, in nationality. Bind us together, O God, with cords that cannot be broken. For all this and all the prayers that remain on our hearts, we lay them at your feet, trusting that you are God. We pray all of this in the name of Christ, our Lord and our friend, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the light of the world, and we will follow him. Jesus is the light of the world.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the light of the world, and we will follow him. Jesus is the light of the world.
pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, come. You are the light of the world. May we reveal your light to everyone around us. Amen. For the past month or so, we have been discussing forgiveness, using the parable of the prodigal son as our focus. And if you want to read the parable of the prodigal son for yourself, it is in Luke 15, 11 through 32. Jesus left those listening and us with a cliffhanger. After the younger son had asked for his father's inheritance, he left home. He squandered all of his money and decided to return home, where he was welcomed back by his father, who then threw him a party. The older son, meanwhile, did all of the right things. He refused to go into the party because he was angry at his father for allowing the younger son to return home. And there Jesus leaves us. What happens next? What do they do next? Do they ever find a way to live together again? We too have a choice. Do we look towards the future after our past? How do we live now? This morning, we heard about two scriptures featuring groups of people with choices to make. The Israelites were contemplating entering the promised land. Way back in their history, God spoke to their forefather, Abraham, and he said, "I will make of you a great nation. You will have more children, more than the stars in the sky, more than the sand on the ground. You will be great." As all things happen, it never happens quite as we want it to. The Israelites were enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years. Then they spent decades wandering in the desert. So here they were on the edge of the Jordan River, about to enter the land God had promised them. How do they become a new people? How can they still hold on to the memories of being enslaved and a wandering people, having to depend on God for everything, yet still be a settled people to which God promised them? How can they cross the Jordan and become new? In our reading from the New Testament, we heard from Paul. Now, Paul had a momentous task in the early church. He was charged by God to spread the gospel to all of the known world, to tell everyone about the resurrection and the death of Jesus. Paul then had to impress upon the newest of Christians what it meant to follow Jesus. Would they follow their old way of life, or would they become new people? They had a choice to make. Both the Israelites crossing the Jordan River and the newest Christians had to trust that God was with them, that they could be a new people. The past needed to be left behind. It is scary to look towards the future sometimes, for it is unknown. It's all too easy to look towards the past, even if it's full of negativity, because at least we know. It would have been so easy for that older son to always think about his younger brother and say, "He's always going to be a screw-up." How do we turn away and look to the future? It always takes that one step. For the Israelites, they had to watch the ark, which was the symbol of God's presence, and take the steps through the overflowing Jordan River. And God showed them that God was there because it turned dry. God was with them on their journey towards being a new people. God is with us as well, leaving behind our regrets, our fears, and seeing God with us, and seeing a future filled with hope, a future filled with relationships, a future filled with love. Clifford Young was an ultramarathon runner in Australia, and he would run for hundreds of miles at a time. His very first race that he decided to enter was not simply any race, but a 544-mile race. He had not trained like any of the other racers who were half his age, for he was 61 at the time, but still, he decided to race. It would have been all too easy for him to give up when the end was nowhere in sight, when everyone else left him in the dust. Yet he kept going on his race. Shuffle, 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 one foot in front of the other, seeing the finish line in his mind's eye. He ran for 18 straight hours. Darkness came, and every other runner lay down on the side of the road and went to sleep. For that's what one does. Yet what is impossible for us is never impossible for God. Young, not knowing, or not tired, ran through the night. As an anonymous author wrote, "Darkness can never travel as fast as light. No matter how bad things get, no matter how much the dark seeps in, no matter the depths of the night, the darkness can never travel as fast as light. The light is always there, waiting to shatter the dark." Young only knew what he regularly did back home. You run through the dark. He ran for 5 days, 15 hours, and 4 minutes straight, beating the world record with his tiny, slow pace. He never gave up. And nor do we have to ever give up, because God is with us. Next week, we will enter the season of Lent, looking towards what is to come with the cross at Good Friday. Yet always, even as we look to the cross, we look to the empty grave. I think it is important to link the cross with the resurrection, because the resurrection is the last word. The end of the story is Jesus rising from the dead. The end of the story is never our failure, but the grace we have received in God's love made known in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven, loved, and free. Like the Israelites facing the raging Jordan River, like the early church in Philippi choosing to follow Christ, we have a choice. Will we look back upon our past, seeing who we once were, and letting our past regrets bind us? Or will we look to the future, claiming our inheritance as God's new creation? May we press on this day, keeping our face fixed on Jesus Christ and giving forgiveness, receiving forgiveness and love, that we may continue to build up the kingdom of God among us. Amen. Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet friendship of the Holy Spirit be with us always. Amen.
This has been Moving Forward with Pastor Kim Farrell, originally broadcast February 7th, 2016. Can we actually become a new people? Are we able to make choices that open us up to new creations? Or are we too tied to the past to change? Plus, Geneseo United Methodist Church Choir joins us.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.